Elvis to Frank Sinatra, Las Vegas has long had ties to big-name entertainers and hordes of ready-to-party tourists. But now the bright lights of this American hotspot are welcoming a new audience and stars. Jennifer Lopez becomes the latest high-profile act to open a residency in Las Vegas as the city in the desert offers megastars a whole new way to reach their audience and a whole new way, easy way, to fill their pockets. Conor Behan has been looking at the whole idea of a Las Vegas residency and he joins me now to talk about this. Conor, welcome to the programme. A Las Vegas residency. Before we even talk about Las Vegas, what's a residency exactly?
It basically means an artist, or in some cases, particularly in Vegas, a DJ, which happens in Ibiza as well. Someone is given a spot in the same venue, either week after week, over a certain kind of regular periods of time. So they're kind of in residence as a performer.
So it's like a concert tour in one location.
Basically, yeah. And it's the exclusivity is always important. Like, they play in this place, we're in this town, and they play this many shows a year. So if you want to see them, why not come see them in this place versus, you know, in the case of either a DJ or a pop star, oh, I'll be in your country in 6 months' time. They're saying, well, I'll be in this place. You can come and see me.
Right. And everybody does come to Vegas. The funny thing about that is, yeah. I remember the Killers, they come from Vegas.
Yeah, they're actually from Las Vegas, the place.
Wow,
yeah,
there's a band from Las Vegas.
Not going to
everybody
Vegas.
Everybody goes to Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. And their whole thing, of course, is talking about how like living there was weird because it's a decadent city at first, but actually it's a normal town with a huge glittery facade, you know, which
it's
is
interesting.
It's
kind of like the Ballybunion of America.
Yeah, exactly. I'm amazed they don't start using that in the ads for it here. We'll be flying in.
Okay, it's basically a man-made, opulent, huge place of total extravaganza.
Of course.
And so what goes in the road stays in the road. What happens in Vegas?
Exactly.
Vegas. Okay, now, what is this about a residency? I mentioned Elvis and Frank.
Of course, yeah. And even Prince had one, I think, like, well, maybe nearly 10 years ago now, and Prince fashion was kind of haphazard. He played what he wanted. And then we think of people like Cher and Tina Turner playing in Las Vegas. But I suppose in the last kind of nearly, God, like 6, 7, 8 years, it's had a reinvention first, kind of taking on the DJ boom and the rise in dance music again in a very mainstream way in the States by having DJs do residencies. Paul Oakenfold famously took up one in 2008, and they were seen as a big risk at the time because they're like, well, we don't know if dance music is big enough in the States for someone to take one of these big clubs.
Really?
And once he did it, everybody from Avicii to David Guetta to Diplo to Calvin Harris.
And that this would be like every day for a year.
Well, because DJs are so in demand, and because actually, particularly in the States, and because they're more flexible in terms of how they can travel, they tend to just go, well, on say Monday night, Diplo always plays in Vegas, but he can still tour the world because there's no point telling a DJ they can only play in one city for like a year. It's not practical. But it's definitely created Vegas, gave it this new lease of life as a place for younger people to go and party versus actually going, say, gamble or going with your family and walking around like, you know, like you said, man-made structures and fake kind of like tourist attractions that look like world landmarks in this American city. So it's had that really helped the DJ culture. And now we're seeing the likes of J-Lo and Britney Spears kind of skew to a younger audience as well.
You see, like, what do you call it? I've been to Vegas twice.
Wow.
Twice in the one summer. Bizarrely, June and August. It was a stupid, I don't know. I went to see the same thing twice for various reasons with different people and all the rest. And it was the Beatles' Love thing.
Oh, the Cirque du Soleil show. And that's been a huge thing for Vegas. That was kind of elaborate productions in big venues and taking Elvis and Michael Jackson and Beatles songs.
The way they do the show couldn't be done anywhere else with cantilevered stages and all the rest of it.
Of course.
It's not a huge crowd, at it, by the way. Like,
no, that's kind of the point as well.
3,000 or something, or maybe less, I don't know.
Exactly.
The point about it is it's probably afternoon and evening. There must be about 10 shows a week for maybe, 25 years? It could easily be 25 years.
Well, not that long for one show, but there would definitely be stuff constantly in rotation that much, for sure.
No, but I mean, this one's been going for, 7 or 8 years so far?
At least.
It's
and they've done, like, Michael Jackson and Elvis, and they're constantly announcing new kind of shows tied to Lucas music.
That's because everybody goes to Vegas, so therefore it's worth it for these people to do all this kind of thing. Now, you're saying it's different in the last, say, maybe decade or 2 decades.
For sure.
Now, all the kind of... It seems to be an awful lot of the female diva kind of pop stars.
Completely, because I think they're struggling in the traditional realm because it's actually so expensive for the likes of Jennifer Lopez to just exist as a pop star because it's all about big hair, big costumes, lavish videos, big albums, guest names on songs, and all that costs money. For someone like her to go, well, actually, I've only toured the world once a few years ago and it did well, but I'm not a touring act in some people's eyes. How can I show that I'm a showgirl and entertainer? I'll go to the ultimate land of the showgirl and entertainer, Las Vegas, you know? And it's interesting, Celine Dion has been playing there for like over, I think it's like 13 years. She started in 2003, but she skews a bit older than, you know, your Jennifer Lopez and your Britney Spears.
So, wait a minute,
Calvin
she's about
Harris.
13 years. Are you saying 7 nights a week, 13 years?
No, again, these big stars have much more flexible schedules. They tend to do like a few days on or nearly a week of shows and they get time off. And she would do a leg of the residency, take a break, and particularly with the health issues that her husband recently passed away. She was taking a lot of time off to look after him and then go back and do the show. So, they have a lot of flexibility, these stars, as well. And that's why they're doing it. Not just playing to, say, 5,000 people versus 20,000 and getting quite a bit of money for it. it's freedom to go, I can take 6 months off and I have a gig next week, versus we need to keep this momentum going so I can go on the road and play like the Dublin, then Dubai, then like Barcelona, then back to Australia. You know, it's a little more, it's more luxurious, I suppose. And they can keep in Las Vegas one night and then go back to their mansion in Los Angeles if they want, you know.
Yeah, like funny thing is, when I say I was there, I was never at any other show, so I don't know how big the other kind of auditoria are.
I think Dion was doing the Coliseum, which is kind of one of the biggest. And then what's interesting with the Britney Spears show, which I think is really setting a new like template in place for the younger skewing stars, they kind of rebuilt this venue in the Planet Hollywood Casino called the Axis Theatre, which now Jennifer Lopez is using, and they're saying Pitbull might even take a residency there early next year. So it's they're building, like you said, these kind of slightly smaller venues than your basic kind of arena or stadium you go to see someone in here or abroad. But they're also customising those venues. So an Irish guy, Baz Halpern, I think you've interviewed him before. Oh, he's done loads of shows, from Swedish House Mafia to Pink. He created the Britney show for her. And there was a documentary made about it, and he was saying as they walked around the venue, you know, I can, this is fit for this venue, and most pop stars don't get this amount of production that they can customise to this hilt. So
yeah,
that's why they're coming
also
here.
Like, when somebody like Baz has to go around the world, stick it up everywhere, take it down, and once you're there like for 6 or 8, like it's a bit of a money spinner.
Completely, because you know you're not spending all that money on ferrying around stages. Like all those big acts have two of the big stages. One is being set up in the country that they're playing the week before, and one is in the venue where people are seeing it that day. So Vegas cuts out that kind of cost because it's just there.
I mean, there was talk of was it Celine Dion or was it J-Lo or something, or somebody? No, it was Madonna about 4 or 5 years ago. There was genuine talk of a billion.
She's funny because she still tours like a lot, and she's always moaning about the Las Vegas and residency thing. And I wonder, would she change her mind now that there's slightly younger stars doing it? Would she go, oh, I think she used to basically say it's for acts that are past it. It's for people, it's for businessmen in suits who go to conferences to go see a show. Fans don't go. There is that complaint that Vegas touristy kind of business conference crowd doesn't lend itself to a good show. And it's very interesting. All these shows are glitzy and big, and they're kind of like pre-parties to go and see a DJ in a club later. It's about partying versus go see a show with your friends for an hour. And you know, it's a little bit more like they want you to get up and have a good time, allegedly.
Yeah. And do you think that Celine Dion will be seen now, when we look back on the history of a Las Vegas residency, as a kind of a turning point of some sort?
Completely. The amount of money that pulled in, I think it was something like, what is the figure? Something like a couple of $100 million or something in like 4 years. And also, like, she got Elton John, Cher, and a bunch of people in that vein to kind of go, hang on, why am I not playing here? So that kind of 10-year span of those kind of slightly older heritage stars playing in Vegas for the residencies are usually 2 to 3 years as well, by the way. Like the Jennifer Lopez one, she's doing something like, I think, 40 to 50 shows over 2 years. So, you know, it's convincing these big names, I can actually go and play in a venue for 3 years and it actually works for me, versus have I given up the ghost? Because when Vegas was in the doldrums, kind of in the 80s and 90s, before these residencies were coming back for big names, people saw it as a real death knell to go and perform in Vegas every week, because it was like, why can't you go on the road? Why can't you get a TV show? Whereas Dion did it in 2003 when she was still a big name and was selling albums, and she said, well, why wouldn't I do this, you know? So I think it will be a turning point, and it'd be interesting with influence touring.
Yeah, it says here, look, in 2003 she began a residency, A New Day. It grossed over $400 million in just the 4 years. Then she went off to do whatever, then she went back to do a residency.
Yeah, she took a break and she's back on it again. She's been back on it for a couple of years, and she came back, I think, early, like end of last year. And then obviously what's happened with her husband, she's taking a few shows off, but she's apparently going to go back and start again in February. So I don't know. She seems to be set and doing it for as long as she can. You would, like, it's over 10 years. I would have thought she'd be like, see ya.
Because I remember when Garth Brooks sold 500,000 tickets here, and people like under a certain age, maybe under the age of 18, were going, never heard of him. Who is he? One of the reasons I never heard of him was because it was 2001 that he did his last thing, which was an album. But
he was in Vegas as well.
He had done 4 or 5 years in Vegas that I didn't even know about necessarily, because we didn't see him on the road.
Of course.
Between about 2007 and 2011. In fact, he was supposed to do more, and I think he gave up the last.
Yeah, and he was like a really stripped down showburn. He kind of played like some of his favourite songs. It wasn't a big production. So it's interesting. I think it's getting more attention now because they're trying, even the idea that they want younger people from around the world. So when you think of going to Vegas for like a long weekend and go see their favourite pop star they grew up with, and they're skewing this as well, not at like teenagers, which is where I say pop concerts where people bring their kids or their family, they're skewing at people with a little bit of disposable income who want to have like a kind of wild holiday, you know, because Britney Spears was big in the end of the 90s, early 2000s. People are in their mid-20s, early 30s now, so they have a few quid. They're like, let's go for nostalgia. Let's go see someone we grew up listening to, and then we can go see this DJ that plays all their favourite dance music that's always on the radio. You know, they're definitely plugging into the wider awareness, and like, we would never have talked about Garth Brooks in Vegas, whereas now we're like, oh, you know, so-and-so is doing a show in Vegas, and we're in Ireland, you know. it's part, and social media, they've said, has really helped the DJ culture, because people can kind of say they were in this place and they saw this name, and they can, you know, that has actually helped Vegas's reputation, because people are bragging about their visits to this opulent place.
Yeah, one of the most important things about music on that level always is the bragging, isn't it?
And the selfie you might get with so-and-so in the background, you know.
Yeah, and I saw him before his first album, Stuff. Anyway, what was I going to say? Yeah, Britney Spears did a few years ago. I remember reading that people said, she's not going to be able to do it, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And extended now till 2020 or something like that.
Yeah, so she announced the end of last year's another 2 years, and so that's about 4 years in total, and I would imagine she could do more. It really suits her, because I think she had her own, we don't even really know what kind of struggles she actually went through, but it was obvious that the grind of touring and going the road and interviewing people, it does not suit who she is as the person and the stuff that she's gone through. And it's very interesting watching her year on year, how much she seems to actually suit just playing that one space all the time, and how much happier and kind of together she seems as a person, and how much better her performing has even become. Most stars, you think, would almost settle or kind of rot in the same place for a while, where she seems to have kind of flourished and doesn't seem as she seemed very robotic and very removed from what she was doing for a while.
Yeah, and she got her 70 million or whatever in box office or whatever it was. And do you think, therefore, some people would have said, well, look, hold on a second now, Frank Sinatra and Elvis. Wait a minute, Britney. Hello, my name is Mariah Carey. Hello, I'm Jennifer Lopez. We can do it if she can do it.
Completely. And Mariah Carey, again, obviously considered one of the best singers of all time when she's on form, writes and produces all her, like, most of her biggest hits. Like, is it complete music, like, you know, success? And doesn't tour that much. So she used Vegas last year to play for, like, I think 3 or 4 months, got loads of press, and is doing her first European tour in like 14 years now this year. So I think if they're smart, they can go, hang on, this is a good way for people who love me to come see me. And it's always good press, because it's a controlled environment. They know what the venue's like, they know the specifics. They're not going into a room where if a sound guy has done a dodgy job at sound check, they're screwed, or, you know, if they're wrong, like something happens at the rig, they know exactly what's going to happen. It's a safe bet. So I think it appeals to their ego as well, you know.
And they can work on other projects, as you say, which is incredibly important, because if you're doing a 67-day tour around the world, that's all that's on the agenda.
Exactly. And then you have to try, and people are trying to record albums in hotel rooms and studios, whereas, like, Britney Perney's working on a new album, Jennifer Lopez is finishing on American Idol this year, and has a cop drama for NBC called Shades of Blue that she filmed last summer that's just started airing. So she can then go, okay, I can film a TV show in the summer. And she said herself, you know, it's 40 shows in 2 years, it gives me the freedom to do other things, you know. Which is, again, when it comes to making money and also the lack of money that's in certain things, they can be a bit savvier and still make the stuff they would have made 5 years ago much easier.
And it certainly keeps them road worthy as well, as they, like, if they do come.
Yeah.
Isn't she coming back? Isn't Mariah Carey coming over this direction?
Yeah, she's touring Europe first time in like 14 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And even Lopez, who I actually saw when she was here, and I was really surprised how good she was live. I thought it would be kind of a camp car crash. And she actually came out and really nailed it. And I thought, people don't realise she can perform, because that was her first tour and she was already like 15 years into career, whereas most acts, even the likes of Beyonce, they spend years on the road, so everyone knows they're an amazing performer. I think she knows, if I do this for a few years, people will get that I actually am a contender as like a showgirl and entertainer versus just a celeb, because there's more money in playing shows than walking red carpets.
I'm just thinking of kind of the rock side of things. The rock bands wouldn't really...
I don't know.
Be a step too far? I mean, even like a lot of sort of 80s hair bands go out, three bands together kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't you think they would do that in Vegas and not feel like they say, Vegas, we're party animals kind of...
I think band. It would suit even something like a Bon Jovi kind of band. It would really excel in Vegas, but I don't know if it's that thing of, no matter what kind of rock band it is, there's definitely more of a sense they want to go on the road and live that on the road lifestyle, or even what they feel is like memories.
They don't
of
want to
it.
Be the first. I'm sure somebody's going to text in and say, well, so and so do it, but they don't want to be the first, because they'd be seen to be selling out. Selling out left, by the way.
Whereas with DJs, you know, DJs are like, DJ culture has changed and shifted so much in the States that there's less concerns about like, oh, you shouldn't play that because it's selling out. They'll just go where the money is, where the audience is, particularly because it's so young. And then with the bigger pop acts, they're like, credibility is not something that you guys are ever going to give me, so I'll just do what I want. But I do think it's interesting that rock and roll acts, or just rock in general, hasn't figured in. But then I think as well, it's a different kind of party and a different kind of culture. Like, when you tie in these big top 40 dance queens and then like club DJs, that lends itself to partying, whereas some people who are into rock and roll want to go to a dive bar, or they want to go, like, they want to hear live music. It's a different thing, I think.
Just thinking, if Guns N' Roses do come back, I wonder what they did. They'd be just
or even would AC/DC do it? Like, I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't know.
I think some of those rock bands are also a little less, like, a bit more choosy, because they're like, I don't have to, I won't bother.
Well, you're talking about the dance stuff in terms of, like, I mean, 10 years now. Paul Oakenfold would have been about 10 years ago or something.
2008 he started,
He opened the doors, do you think?
Obviously there was clubs in Vegas already.
It seemed to be risky on paper.
And they made a point, I think it was Marquee in Vegas, and which club it was off the top of my head, but they made a point of refurbishing the venue and using the kind of LED walls and the kind of like the club fixtures and lighting. That's become a real staple for all these DJs. When even when they tour, the production around what they do is really important, because effectively it is mostly just a guy standing there playing records. So, which, and it's almost like a modern version of the glitz and glamour Vegas. They interpret that into, okay, that means big LED wall, that means like big lights. Like, what's the modern version of the glamour and the kind of spectacle of a Vegas venue? It's in a nightclub.
It was never rock music that did it, though. It was dance music that helped shape the new younger Vegas goer, is what you're saying. So, have these younger people changed the strip for better or for worse, for more money for all the strip people, delighted?
Well, this is the thing. So last year there was 42.3 million visitors to Vegas, which is the highest it's ever been. And they're saying that they'll probably creep up a little bit and settle around 42.5 million. But the revenue for gambling went down by 2.5%, which isn't a huge amount, but apparently it's the first time it's gone down in years and years and years. So they're saying that this younger crowd does not go to casinos, does not gamble. Right. So that's also why they're getting people to buy tickets for shows, because they'll spend money on, say, $50 to $100 to see Britney Spears, which is money coming into City versus maybe the $100 they might have spent on the slot if they were a bit older or with their family.
But aren't they saying also that with political instability all over the world, especially if you're American, I suppose, that an awful lot of Americans say, right, listen, we're not going abroad. That thing we were going to go to there, a really, really exotic place, or to Europe, I don't think we will do that. And what we'll do is we'll go to Vegas.
Completely. And it's like, I think, a 3 or 4 hour drive people from Los Angeles. So it is like relatively easy for certain Americans to go to Vegas versus hop on a plane and travel around the world. And particularly because it's like, well, there's like the Eiffel Tower and there's like all these mock like things from different countries. It's kind of like,
I mean,
a
that's not the real Eiffel Tower in Vegas.
I know, shocking. Britney will be raging when she hears that.
Have you ever been?
No, but I have
it
been.
It just so happens that I have two tickets.
Yes. Me and you at the front row, Britney now living our lives. I can just see it.
I love it. Yeah, right.
I would love to go. I'm actually raging. I think it's really weird that, given that Britney and J-Lo play the same venue, that they don't every few months do it so that you could see one of them one night and a few days later the other plays the same venue. They should kind of cross over. They don't. So I'm like, I wouldn't fly to see one person. If I could see two big acts in Vegas in a week and go mad and party, then maybe I'd consider it. Because it's different when you live in America. And you live in Ireland. It's not cheap to go to Las Vegas, you know?
No, that is true. All right, well, listen, Conor Bean, that's your bucket list, is it?
Yeah, see you in Vegas.
See you, bye.